April, do you need us to do roll call at this meeting?
Yeah.
Okay.
We usually do.
If you could, please.
Sure. Chair Carroll.
Here.
Vice Chair Gieske.
Present.
Supervisor Bashaw.
Present.
Supervisor Franco.
Present.
Supervisor Kubicki.
Present.
Youth and Governance Seisel.
Here.
And Cohagan is excused.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Do you have the dates of the publication?
Yeah. February 20th.
Okay, thanks.
So, we as a committee also met on March 1st to discuss this issue in a work session that was published. And I just want to confirm with Andy that it was published properly in the newspaper and along with this hearing.
Yes, so we had the posting in the Kenosha News as a Class 2 notice on February 21st and February 28th.
Okay. As a, on March 1st work session that we had, we also had a site tour, which was followed by a meeting back here at the Council Center. So the members of the committee, all the members of the committee went and toured the site, viewed the surrounding areas, and talked about the project in general. Do we have any reason for the petitioner to come forward to present any more or additional information, or to provide the committee with any other comments or concerns? And I guess before we do that, one thing I just want to let everybody know, try to talk into the mic. You got to be very close to it, because I've heard from some people in the back of the room that it was hard for them to hear the audio. So just be conscious of that as board members when we're communicating. Did you have something, April?
Yeah, I don't know, but we have to remove it from the table to have discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're ready to...
We do.
Okay. So do I have a motion to remove the items from the table?
Items 6, 7, and 8.
Motion to remove items 6, 7, and 8 from the table.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, so they are now off the table, onto the floor. Yeah, why don't you?
Okay, so we're going to start with item number 6, which is the request for Daniel H. and Julie P. Robers, 333 Dardis Drive, Burlington, Wisconsin, 53105, owner, Meyer Material Company, doing business as Lafarge Advocates, Illinois, Inc., 1300 S, South Illinois, Route 31, South Elgin, Illinois, 60177, agent, requests an amendment to the adopted land use plan map for Kenosha County, 2035, which is map 65 of the comprehensive plan, from farmland protection, an isolated natural resource area, to extraction, farmland protection, and isolated natural resource area, and tax parcel number 954-219-291-0100, located in the town of Wheatland. And I'll just pull up the map again that would be referencing this item. Able to move the map, but we do know the area. I'll try to keep working on it, and then it's up for the committee as to what you want them to come up, or if there's anything additional you would like to ask in regards to the comprehensive plan change.
And I guess what I would say is that, you know, we understand that there's three steps here: the comprehensive plan change, the rezoning, and then the conditional use permit. We focused a lot on a lot of the comments on the plan and the conditional uses. Or conditions of approval, and I think that before we would even consider the comprehensive plan amendment and the rezoning, we'd want to make sure that the plan was a solid plan if it was going to be considered. So I think that's why we've gone through the last couple of hearings and talked a lot about, you know, the project specifically, which is more so the conditional use permit. Do any committee members have any questions of the petitioner to bring them forward?
Okay.
Well, come on forward then.
Is it working?
Yes.
Okay. Good evening, Randy Willie, Doug Aver Camp, Fire Material Company, Cisco Fire Aggregates, and also on the team's call should be Jeff Hsu from Patrick Engineering.
Yes, and he is shown to be on.
Okay, he said he could not hear.
So you were before us last month, meeting, Randy. You submitted a plan, which was different than the previous plan from last October. We had a lot of public comments and concerns on that, and then we, as a board, tabled it for a month. So then we decided to take it up this month to give ourselves some head time, to give some time to go back and forth between yourself and the staff. And also to address, you know, some of the residents' comments that you had heard from the previous meeting. Are there any other, you know, concerns or additions to the plan that you would like to discuss that will address any of the residents' concerns?
I went over some of the notes from last time just to try to gather what I thought were the most important ones. I think there was one reference to silicosis and exposure to the neighbors. And I think we had submitted to staff probably within a week or two after the last hearing was the data that we were able to pull from the Mine Safety and Health Administration, which is an analysis of the sound audiology reports, and they put a sensor on the lapel that measures for silicon content. It's very small and not even traceable over the permissible exposure. And again, that's done, I think, every 6 months. We make them up for inspection. Some of the other concerns I can't address because they were probably not, I guess, in the direct wheelhouse about noise from a mile away. We did the sound study that we presented, and I didn't have the gentleman come back from the audiological company. It was a model. It wasn't real time because we're not operating right now, but it gives everybody a sense. And if you were at the site, hopefully you can see some of the distances that we're talking about in addition to the berms. We came back last time with a little bit of a revised berm concept, using all the dirt we could to armor every angle of the site that we could without running out of dirt. The mine plan itself was altered. I know it was maybe a surprise to everybody, but I think from the meeting before that, our understanding was that this could go on forever, and we go here, we're going to go across the street, and then we're going to go across 368th, and so on. And, you know, we went back to the drawing board, and we went back to the rovers, and said, like, you know, I think this is the end of the mine, and if we can maximize what we can out of this piece of property, I think we'll be fine. That gives us time to go for a new site. And we had the drilling logs, so we knew there was material underwater, and we got permission from them. We have great experience mining in shallow water aquifers without any issues with neighboring properties we ran just most recently. I was on a project in Cary, Illinois, where we operated a dredge 24 hours a day within 200 feet of 300 homes. And we mined to a depth of 25 to 30 feet. And again, this is somewhat commonplace for us to mine within shallow water aquifers and short distances. And those are the types of things that I guess I know what we're capable of doing as an operator. We're a global company with a huge environmental compliance footprint. We're always going to do what's right. We did rework the restoration bond estimate, so to speak. We went back to Jeff Shue at Patrick Engineering and said, well, with pond in the middle, give us the worst case scenario of what we would have to spend in order to have somebody put the property back. And so the bonding amount actually with inflation now is going up. So we're looking at a considerable bump from what we originally projected in the $300,000. We're over $425,000. Again, these are things that we know we can deliver on. We're not planning on walking away. We're valuing a non-renewable resource in a nice address. We can compete locally until we run out of material. And this is the proposal we thought would hopefully satisfy everybody, whether it's health, safety, welfare, benefit to all the taxpayers.
Okay. All right, thank you. I did receive the, and I think all the members here did receive the data on the monitoring, and we also received the updated reclamation amount. So just to confirm that we did get that, we did see some additional conditions come through, which I assume that you were you reviewed them as well.
Correct.
Is there anything else, Andy, that I'm trying to recall the emails that I've seen in the past a few weeks here?
Did we let her read the new conditions for the public to be aware of what the additional conditions were, or just leave it as part of the record?
Now we're only doing a comprehensive plan.
Okay.
We can get it done.
So we move that plan and get it done?
You could, yeah, once we get to the condition of this section.
Okay.
That would be the most appropriate time, but you may want to take that all up front.
Do we want to move the first item and get it done with, or do you want to go through everything first?
I think we should go through it first and make sure that we got a good plan.
Maybe we can cover that if you want.
Yeah.
So you can bring that up on the screen.
Right.
Yeah, there are some deadlines that we had, I guess, agreed to with staff that I don't know if I need to explain what we had agreed to, or if that's just going to come as part of the...
That's what we were just
talking about. Yeah, what we talked about here is let's just pull up the conditions that have been discussed, and we'll go through them.
So this is the conditional use permit being amended based upon... the areas of concern from the committee. And so conditions 7, 8, 9, and 10 are the new conditions. I'll read them in. 7 is subject to extraction activities on the expansion parcel 954-219-2910 and the existing and mining operation being completed within 5 years to conclude by December 31st, 2028. Reclamation of the expansion parcel and the existing mining operation per submitted reclamation plans shall be completed within 7 years by the December 31st, 2030. Item number 8 is, condition number 8 is subject to submitting a well action plan by April 12th, 2023 for the monitoring and or possible remediation of neighboring residential wells that have the potential of being negatively impacted as a direct result of non-metallic mining extraction activities on the expansion parcel. The action plan shall provide for well monitoring through completion of the site reclamation until December 31st, 2030. Condition number 9 is subject to filling grading being done along the south side of 31st Street to stabilize existing slope, erosion, any required easements or agreements to work within the right-of-way shall be obtained from the town of Wheatland. Condition number 10, subject to revising the submitted reclamation plan map of 103121 by Patrick Engineering to show proposed lot 7 and 8 as a single lot 8 cannot be created as shown, in as it would create a landlocked parcel not having frontage on a publicly dedicated road. And that's just the proposal of what the property could be used in the future with these eight lots that we just, it would really only be seven lots. So those were the new items that were added to the conditional use.
Andy, just to be clear on that, that is, by putting that as a condition, condition number 10 in there, is that in any way saying that that would happen or that we could come back and say, because I don't want to be on the board and saying, well, you know, have we thoroughly vetted through this process? Has the zoning have changed properly after this? Or is that something that's going to be, hey, it's a concept plan, and later down the road that would have to be approved?
Correct. It's a concept plan, and it's just to show staff and the body voting on what the potential is for the property in the future. It could stay the way it is, or it could be anything less than with what those seven lots would be.
It's in no way approving it at this point.
It is not approving it.
Does this suggest that it does or no?
It does not. It's just saying that we want to have in the record something that is viable, and we didn't want to have something that was not viable as a concept plan.
I think that the you know, one of the items in here that was different than what was discussed or understood probably from the previous meeting or from the work session was the, you know, 5 years of mining and then followed by 1 year of reclamation. And Andy cleared that up and said, well, that was your proposal for the expansion area only. We were looking at that as being, you know, the entire mine site. You had said that, or you had talked with Andy and said, well, you know, no, we need another, you know, a little additional time to get out of there, the rest of the whole site, right?
Yes, so, my conversation with Andy was, it will only take us a year to reclaim the expansion parcel, but then we would need to tuck in areas that are currently being mined, and then the plant site, but in order to reclaim the plant site, we have a stockpile inventory that you need to sell all the way down. And then we have a batch plant that Ozinga operates there, plus our, you know, processing equipment would come out, and then you still have to grade and seed it, and actually probably one or two growing seasons, whether it's spring and fall or fall and spring, to get vegetation growing. So it does take a little bit of time to unwind it to its complete end.
Is it fair to say, though, that it's an egress process, so you're starting at the farthest and working backwards on
it's
the way
out? It's a full retreat from farthest northeast all the way back to 392nd Avenue. And again, we could be done sooner. I mean, if material sales are faster, then this process could advance.
Understood. If this were approved at all, does this change your plans for the restoration of the current active areas on site, or are you, when our, in the tour, there was areas that were actively being mined currently, and it appeared that those were nearing the end. So we want to make sure that, you know, that if there's any restoration, that this isn't going to change the restoration of those areas.
No. So it'd be called concurrent. So for this year, we have a budget to do restoration. In fact, we're meeting with the grader on Friday for the Denko property, right? So we link cell 6-7. So we're working through that area by the cell tower. So that's part of our active restoration for this 2023 season. So then going back to if we would get approved for the expansion, it'd be like a lasting first call kind of concept to finish that off in that 1 year once we're done mining of the expansion property. So everything is concurrent with how our budgets will be. We have the 10-acre property to finish off as long as Ron's property on the east side of the pipeline, the east and south side, Ron Denko's property.
And so there are other plans, you know, in the next year or two to also, you know, finish those areas up, and so we're pretty much confined to your operational area and the expansion area? Is that the...
Yeah, so what we're doing, the rest, so we have one parcel on Denko property over the gas line.
Cell 7.
Cell 7, 8 acres is pretty much what's left there, right? So that stripping is going to be used along with other stockpile material, like we would do on the concept for the expansion, right? And around the property, we have stockpile material. So we're going to defer our plan for this year to consume our budget with what's stored of overburden, which is clay, and then the black dirt, which is stored for the topping. So the same process we would use on the expansion property.
Okay. No, I understand that. I'm just, want to make sure that you're tightening on restoration and not deferring that.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, then.
You're still mining.
Right, but yes. We're still mining this year, part of that.
Yeah.
But in the meanwhile, along the cell tower, that's mined out, so that's restoration, so that's where it takes the 3-to-1 slopes. And we work on the mined out portion that we're currently in right now as we're going to the west. So
okay.
We back up behind that, so that would be 2024, 25-ish, working concurrently as we're mining out the expansion.
Okay. Are there any other questions of the committee here?
If I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
Number of things. First of all, let me say thank you for opening up the mine and allowing us to stomp around in the mud, so to speak. It was a slippery day, but quite illustrative. The reclaimed areas are beautiful. It's prairie land. It's very, very attractive. And the reclaim for farm agriculture was active, visibly active, and also looked very good. I appreciate the comment about the reclamation of 6 and 7 cells by the tower. And I'm just curious about the slope, 3-1, 3 foot to one, high pitch.
Well, four to one coming from the existing farm grade. We have 4-to-1 down to the pit floor, which will undulate as we grade it. As you've seen it, it'll be dozer work. So once we do something like that, the Dankos will be out there watching us, and we'll probably get their opinion on how would they like it to look, right?
Yeah.
Grading
for use.
Grade for tractors, combine, even the farming activities.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. And then I wanted to make a comment about another document that we received. We did reach out to County Council to gain as much insight as we could, and Mr. Moyer has provided us a pretty thorough assessment and overview of what the law requires of us and the recommendations there. I believe we're understanding of what the expectations based on the law are and how we act. But a couple things that I wanted to call out. In 2017, Wisconsin Act 67 made broad changes regarding the application for the special use permit. Prior to the act, there was more local control in the hands of the community as to specified standards. Post the act, we're relegated to basically reasonable and measurable standards. It goes on to require that where an applicant meets or agrees to meet all of the requirements and conditions specified in the ordinance or imposed by the governing body, the conditional use permit shall be granted. It continues to say, importantly, the county may impose conditions such as the permit's duration, transfer, renewal, in addition to any other conditions specified in the zoning ordinance. Per the modifications that were read into the record a few minutes ago, adding items 7 through 10, I think we have a fairly comprehensive set of expectations that have been defined, and I've been impressed that you have, nice way to say it, jumped through every hoop that we've thrown in front of you at this point. So I appreciate the effort and the acknowledgement that our community is concerned, and we wish to make sure that we satisfy every single concern that we can. Granted, it's not possible to satisfy every concern. I know when they spread manure on the fields this spring, they're not going to satisfy my chief complaint. So, but I appreciate the effort that's been made, and I thank you for that.
Okay. Any other questions of the committee members? Otherwise, we do have some folks that wish to speak. So, go ahead.
Resveratnik. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know that you've been in communication with the staff, specifically in regards to these new conditions, but yes, just for the record, you are willing to comply with all these conditions, including the new ones?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Doesn't appear that the committee members have any other questions, so I would open up the public hearing for any comments related to the petition. And I would ask that we do it in an orderly fashion. Andy here has the list of people, and just like last time, we would ask that you come up to the table, state your name and address for the record. We are going to limit it to 5 minutes and follow the general rules of our public comments or citizens' comments for the county board.
So just want to make sure that if anyone was looking to speak, if you haven't signed up, we have the list here. Please come forward. Or if anyone is here that didn't sign this, please come up so that you can sign us. We have a record of who's here tonight. Otherwise, those that are on here, again, we'll read your name off, and then you can please come up, and then we'll say who's also on deck just so you're prepared. So the first person up is Evie Hoffman, and then on deck would be Dan Palmer. And again, you'll just come up and press the button so it turns red like my mic, and then just speak into it and state your name and address.
The other thing I would like, I would request as well, is just address your comments to the board here, and then we'll engage the petitioner as needed.
Okay, thank you. Abby Hoffman, I am owner of 4775 376th Avenue, and you understand you can't enter the membership, but rather market that at 67. So I did some research, and I feel there are two areas that can be brought to a denial for reasons. One being that they need to provide substantial evidence they will comply with the reclamation. There has been, since they proposed in 1995, multiple times where they said that they were going to be finished, they were only going to mine for a certain amount of time, and they have been continuing to add amendments and continue on with this process. And this is, once again, another amendment to continue this process, hence the issue with people not believing that they say they will be done in 2030. And that is, according to Act 67, enough to deny it. Along with the second and foremost, that if there is a conflict with the local comprehensive plan, that it can be denied. And the local comprehensive plan for the town of Loopland, statement of 2035, is the goal to preserve rural character by encouraging and sustainable agribusiness, agricultural activities, and minimize the impact on natural resources and preserve the rural character of the area. Their goal is also to preserve and enhance natural resources with the objective of methods for protection of the natural resource bases, which this is obviously extracting natural resources and not preserving them, which can be a condition of denial due to conflict with the local comprehensive law. And that's for you as the body who will either approve or deny to look at those two characteristics and deny this comprehensive plan rezoning and conditions.
Thank you. So then next up is Dan Palmer with the follow-up.
Forgive me, I have two speeds slow, not at all. And for forgive my notes. I'm Dan Palmer. I live at 4503.
Can you press the button, sir, so it turns red?
Yes.
There you go.
I live at 4503 376 Avenue. Forgive my notes. I'm old brain, and I forget a lot. I can go to the kitchen and forget why I went to the kitchen. I'm also a retired heavy equipment operator of 38 plus years, and I'm quite familiar and have quite a bit of knowledge pertaining to heavy equipment, diesels, job site preparations, and excavations. And it takes an enormous amount of equipment and man hours running at a constant pace to produce the needed products of sand, gravel, and stone, along with the huge equipment it takes to fill the hopper, such as monstrous front end loaders, other equipment to bring materials to the great hoppers, if I'm not bad mistaken, run on diesel, which also have an enormous amount of hydraulic fluid running through them, and equipment that needs to be maintained, petroleums that are used to grease fittings, and at the constant running of all this equipment, we also have the process of separating and making different raw materials. We have the stones and the gravels and the sands that have to be produced through this wonderful quarry that we have out there. And all of these large pieces of equipment produce a certain amount of harmful materials that go into our atmosphere. It also causes this equipment running at that pace, also causes leaks, oils dripping onto the ground, diesels dripping onto the ground, petroleums that are used to lubricate the equipment dripping on the grounds, not only on the soil, but possibly even contaminating our water supply, including the enormous amount of equipment it takes to haul this material off this site. Dump trucks, semis, and various other pieces of equipment. The equipment runs for hours and hours, not only to produce the product, but also to move the product off the properties. And has been going on for many, many years now. And by allowing this expansion and extension of time, you're robbing the surrounding communities of the right to finally have clean air to breathe. Not only are you robbing the humans, you're robbing the animal life and the wildlife in the surrounding areas. We have a right to protect humans. The simplest way to do that is to not allow an extension of time or to allow the expansion of this process to continue. My father had a very simple analogy when he was confused as to why organizations and businesses continued to make poor decisions.
1 minute.
He'd tell me, son, when a fox figures out how to get into the fence and to the chicken coop, he'll take a chicken. The fox won't stop that habit until you do something about it. The fox is at the fence. If you allow them this expansion and time extension, I think most of us are smart enough to realize the expansion and extension requests won't stop until they fulfill their obligation of getting the materials out that they want. ladies and gentlemen, the fox is at the fence. Thank you.
Thank you. Then we have Paul Schneider with Bonnie Whitworth on deck.
I guess I was a little surprised today that, you know, the last meeting we heard it was going to be 2 years of mining, 3 years, things would be wrapped up. Today we hear 5 years of mining, 7 years, they have things wrapped up. I guess I agree that I just don't see an end in sight, especially the way that the law is being considered. There's nothing stopping a barge from coming back in 3 years or 5 years and requesting another extension or another expansion. What I really want to point out is in the document that was on the county site, it shows groundwater flow towards the northeast. Confused me a little bit because I'm familiar with groundwater about 20 miles or so south of here in McCullum Lake, Illinois. Did some digging, and the Southeastern Wisconsin Regional Planning Commission, the DNR, did groundwater study, showed groundwater flow, and you can have this documented. Groundwater flow in this area is in the area of the expansion to the southeast, not the northeast, according to the study that was done by the state. If this is approved, and I don't want it to be, I ask the committee to require another groundwater monitoring well to the southeast of the site to match off with groundwater flow that the state, the direction the state gets in, rather than something handwritten on a piece of paper. Also, just a point I want to emphasize, there is a map showing distance from the mine to the wells in the area. That location is based on the center of the existing mine. It has nothing to do with the distance from the expansion, which in my case, I think at well number 14, will be significantly closer. Not sure if you want this document or not. Yes.
All right, thank you. Bonnie Whitworth with Jake Whitworth on deck.
My name is Bonnie Whitworth and I live at 38009 31st Street. And I'm curious tonight to see where we stand.
Bonnie, could you bring the mic close to you?
I wonder what is more important, people or profits. I realize rezoning Rover's property will result in a higher tax base, which means more money in the county coffer. We all get that. We all get that. But is that all?
Bonnie, you're just asking that you speak a little louder.
Is that all that really matters? I don't accept your attorney's explanation that if a barge meets all your criteria, you are required to approve their request. If you keep sending Lafarge back to the drawing board enough times, they are bound to eventually be right. I don't have X-ray vision, but you don't need it to see through this. Beginning in 2012, Lafarge chose to give ISIS and Al-Qaeda millions of dollars to protect their profits. They bankrolled the very terrorists responsible for the 9/11 attack on our country. And that action enables the terrorists to plan future attacks. How do we know if those lunatics are just sitting on an arsenal waiting for the most opportune moment where they can put the most collateral damage to launch another attack? And they pay for it. As I see it, you have 2,750 reasons to deny the party's request. I don't need a yearly memorial to remind me to never forget that day. There's a humanitarian that resides in all of us. So my question becomes, are we going to choose people or not?
Thank you. So we have Jake Whitworth. Okay, not to speak, that's okay. And then we have Kurt Anderson with Kim Murrenty on deck. Sorry if I mispronounce your name, but Kurt Anderson.
Good evening, thank you. My name is Kurt Anderson. I live at 4475 Freeman 76. Thank you again. I'll be brief. Question, because I really haven't heard this. How deep is the extraction? How deep are they digging in this in the proposed area?
I believe the plans call for somewhere in the 15-foot range. From the water surface, I think the proposed water surface, again, according to the plan, was around 800, and that they were showing the bottom to be around 15 feet below that.
So they're digging down like 50 feet? They're digging down 50 feet?
No.
No?
1.5. 15.
Oh, 15 feet. So they're only digging 15 feet down as deep as they're going?
From the water, the proposed water surface. Again, I'm quoting the plan. Andy, if you wanted to, you could probably pull it up and it's available for you. But yes, that was
I'm still not understanding. How deep are they digging? Are they going down 100 feet, 200 feet?
No.
15 feet? Mm-hmm. Okay.
From 15 feet.
Okay. Yeah. That was just a question.
Yep, that's
okay. Oh, yeah. So I did hear, I got two other things. So the other thing I heard was there was a proposal for a pond. I'm assuming there's DNR, needs to be consulted, and they have to approve all that. Was that been taken care of? Or is this something that there is going to be done? If they do a pond, it'll come upon later if it gets approved or not. I don't know. I don't know that you can just do a pond. But I seem to remember something about
the reclamation plan indicates that there will be a water body at the end, and it does not require DNR approval.
It doesn't require it. Okay. All right. So, and my other point, which is kind of repeating what someone else said, and I think I said this in the past, so let's keep it brief. I don't see this as an extension. I see this as a new operation. This is not what they currently have. They're not asking to continue their current thing. They're also talking about rezoning an existing area, not just and it's not just repurposing Ag 2. We're talking about changing it from a protection zoning district to something else. Now, if we just go and change something from protection to do extraction, why was it even put protection in the first place? That wording has a meaning. I don't think that it just seems like we're just ignoring it because Far just saying, well, we're going to do these other things. Well, it's protection for a reason. I don't think that can be ignored. So that's all I got to say, and thank you very much.
Thank you. I just want to repeat, I'm counting more people than signed up, so please, if you didn't sign up, come up to sign your name on here, even if you choose not to speak. I'm just counting more people in the audience than we have on the sheet. Otherwise, we have Kim Murphy, Murphy, sorry about that. Kim Murphy with John Ballard on deck?
Ballard, that's me too. My mom would be so disappointed in my handwriting. Yes. Kim Murphy, 38111 31st Street. A couple of things. First, in 1996 to today, our community is very different. If I understood correctly, you guys came out and took a look at the site, so you can see that. By the Dacos property, it is not very close to two houses. Where the expansion is talked about, it is closer to the houses. So again, those two are the a direct comparison. My opinion is no. In terms of the zoning, the gentleman before me talked about it. The zoning was made for a reason. We're now a community, and we're looking for the town and the county to protect our interests. This is not just about a company or one single landowner. It's about a community. A community in a neighborhood in your community. as our board to protect us. In terms of last time we were here, my property with my husband, we're one of the two wells. When we came to that meeting last time, it was shocking to hear that. My well on my property was approved by the county when it was put in 20 years ago, 22 years ago. When I walked into the meeting last time, that was not a concern of mine. Never crossed my mind that I should be concerned about it. So again, I understand from the considerations again that I'm just seeing today that by April 13th, there is going to be a plan. I want to understand the risk and the mitigation plan. If my property, my asset, my family is impacted from that, what is going to be done to support me and to get me back to whole? So question for the board, when will I, as a neighborhood and a resident that is one of the two potentially impacted, when will I see that plan?
I believe we
can. Am I going to have to email you to get the information, or how will we see that?
I think that's the final plan would be to, you know, email the county board or the Andy to get what the final plan is. It will be public information. I think there's a draft of it now, is there not?
So can we look at it?
There was an outline I provided. If you want to ask Jeff Hsu if he can recite it step by step.
Yeah, we do have that. We can go through that. But and then if there's anything that comes from this meeting, then obviously it would be modified, and the date would be the 12th, of which then anyone would have ability to obtain that, and if you had that desire, you would just need to reach out to me.
Okay, and I did that last time, and there was a bit of a delay for a couple of reasons, so I'm going on public record now that I want a copy of that as soon as it's available. You have my email, right?
I do.
Thank you for sending the last ones, that they were very helpful. So at the end of the day, they talk about jobs, they talk about labor, they talk about facilities. I'm talking about my house. I'm talking about my neighborhood, but again, I'm talking about your community. So I'm hoping that you're listening. Appreciate you guys going to do the site visit, and leave it in your hands to protect us. Thank you.
Thank you, John. And then on deck is Mike or Gail Dufern.
John Valley, 38111, 31st Street. Like came before me, pretty much said what we've been talking about. Wish I knew more about the law, because there's something about this that this isn't right. Like there's a mine going to be around all these communities that reaches about a half a mile. And so it's not a continuation, it's a growth. They're going to be 200 feet from the doorstep, 100 feet from my back property line. The existing mine at the other end of the road on the west or northwest side of the gas line is about 1,170 feet from anyone except Angle's back door. So that's a straight line along the property line in that farm field, like 1,170 feet if you measure it from the maps. So all of this expansion of the 23 acres on that parcel is way closer than it's 200, you say 200 feet from 31st Street, 200 feet from, let's say, Bonnie's property line. It's in our backyards, it's in our front yards, it's in our face. It's not out 1,070 feet from the road. You don't really see it 1,000 feet from the road, but you do see it at 200 feet. And if you're going to berm it on east side, north side, not really a berm on the north side because the hill across the street is like 20 feet higher than the road, or the house is 20 feet higher than the road, you're going to build like a stadium that's going to project that sound southward to the houses down 376. I don't really believe that, I don't think anyone believes that the sound won't carry like a model portrayed by a person who's got vested interest in it, showing that zone that doesn't really inhibit the residents. So we deal with noise a lot. So I think I need to put a microphone out there and record some noises, because you can hear it. It's not in the distance. It's about a half a mile from my back door. But it's not going to be a half a mile. It's going to be 200 to 400 feet. So I'm pretty upset that I think it's going the way it's going. I know our property values are going to be devalued. I know everyone's property value is going up in the last 5 years, so that's not really a good measure, but I think this is going to impact our property values. Common sense says you're not going to buy a house and open a mine, build a mine and resizing. It's not going to happen. So that's all I got to say.
Thank you. Then Mike or Gail DeFern with Robert or Margaret Kennecke on deck.
Yeah. Mike DeFern, 4101 376th Avenue. Mr. Willie's given his word that he's going to live by this plan that he brought to you this time. Most of us from the town were at the Plan Commission meeting when he gave his word then to the Plan Commission, to the town, that there would be no excavation closer than 3 feet above the water table. That was his word to the town. And now here we are. Because, like the gentleman said, the fox is in the henhouse. He knows that our town chairman would not bring it to a vote. The Plan Commission, who the town chairman is also the chairman of, has never seen this plan. The Plan Commission approved no pond and absolutely no excavation closer than 3 feet above the water table. But now I'm hearing that the law states if they come to you and meet all your requirements, what he said to the town doesn't mean a damn thing. He could have said anything to the town because now he's come to you. But he hosed the town. He BS'd the town, and now here we are. I was one of three construction inspectors for the engineering firm that put all the sanitary sewers in Boulder's Lake. Super Excavator was the contractor. I have a real good understanding of the ground conditions out there under the surface. Sampling wells sample water that comes into the bottom of the well. That's all that the sampling well takes in. And with the ground conditions out there that I saw, that I still have records of from when the sewer system was put in, that ground changes so fast that they could put 100 sampling wells in and never hit the sand seams that feed these two wells that are going to be affected. And that is a fact. There is no guarantee, absolutely no guarantee, that any of these sampling wells are going to hit the sand seams that feed those wells. Or my wells, anybody else's wells. That's really all I got.
Okay, thank you. Robert or Margaret Kennecke with Kelly Payron on deck.
I just had a few things. We live on 3312 368th Avenue, just a little bit south of Patrick Road. We've been there since 1989, and when we moved on to that farm, we had the best water in the county. It was great. And since this has been going on since 96, with extension after extension after extension after extension, and now they want another extension, my water has changed. It tastes like rotten eggs. So we had to invest in a fancy water softener and a bunch of filters and all this other stuff just to try and clean our water up and keep our appliances and our bathtub and our toilets and everything from being all scarred up with all this gook. So that's one of my concerns. Another concern that I got is less than a half a mile from where they're going to dig this big hole is Karcher Hunting Grounds. And that's an environmentally sensitive area. There's springs all over in there. It's marshland. It's full of ducks, geese, all kinds of stuff. What's the impact of digging this big hole down into the water table going to have on the hunting grounds? Is it going to dry the springs up? Is it going to dry the creeks up that come out of there? Across the road from us, our neighbor, they have 40 acres. It's mostly all wooded, but they got a big pond in there. He just passed away last year. His wife lives there. She's 91 years old. She's concerned about her pond, which is closer to the pit than what the Karcher Hunting Grounds is. My well is shot now, and I'm just wondering, you know, how much more damage this is going to do to the aquifer. One other thing that I wanted to bring up. We're losing farmland everywhere, all over. I drive down 142, I drive down E, hundreds of acres of the finest farmland in Kenosha County is getting all covered up with solar panels. You drive west, you get out around Spring Green, out around Richland Center, thousands of acres covered with solar panels. So, if we're concerned about farmland at all, I think you should deny this request because it's already in farmland preservation, and I don't see why we should change it to have them dig another great big hole. They've been extending it year after year after year after year, and when they're done with this in 2030, they're going to ask for another extension. Then they're going to go under 376, and they're going to mine everything out next to my farm. Property values are going to go down. Nobody wants to live next to a gravel pit with a bunch of machinery going and a great big hole in the ground. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Kelly Payron with Kathy Anderson on deck.
Kelly Payron, 32830 Karcher Road, Burlington. So first of all, I wanted to thank Ed and John because last time you two spoke up, and I believe it would have been passed at the last meeting if you had not. So thank you both very much for your fortitude, your courage in adversity. Thank you for hearing us, and please continue to do so. I think it was made pretty clear at the last meeting to all of us that some of you just want this passed no matter what. And you really don't care what we have to say, made obvious by your incessant clock timing 30-minute warnings. Thank you for not having that this time. So, if this passes, I have a new proposal. They say they're going to be done in 5 to 6 years. I believe there should be a hefty fine imposed upon them at the 5-year mark, this date of done digging 12/31/28, so January 1st, 29, a hefty fine imposed if they go beyond that. None of you were at the Wheatland meeting when we went to, and they stated We can't make any promises when it will be done. That's what we were told. It depends on the economy. So guess what? The economy doesn't look very good right now. So that will be their excuse to extend it. We need a guaranteed end to this. And guaranteed end. Find the heck out of them. I don't think it's too much to ask to have that written on contract. Then if they go past it, then you will get even more money than you are already going to get from this deal. Is that something that you are willing to do for us?
Are you asking us to respond to that?
Yes, of course.
I'll talk to Andy, but we have read, you have read the conditions, right? That we put the dates on there?
I don't see a penalty. I need to see a penalty because it's going to go over. We don't trust them. It hasn't happened in the past. It's already past the 10-year mark. We're at 27. Why would we trust them? And you'd be fools to trust them too. What reason do they have to stop?
So
just,
for clarification in regards to any item, this one, any other item that comes before the committee or anything that's working through the Kenosha County zoning ordinance, there is a violation section that we follow, and our corporation counsel can chime in if this is incorrect. But basically, in any situation, if something is not being followed, there is either the opportunity to revoke a conditional use permit, or there is the ability to go into the violation aspect mode of anything. So if something were to be continuing, then we would go into a violation mode, and then that goes to court and so on and so forth, of which fines can be imposed.
They're going to need to be stopped. It's super clear to me right now. And I don't know if you guys see it yet, but we've been living with it. So something needs to be in where they have a penalty, put it in the contract, make it part of it, then they can't and they won't because they'll be losing money. My final comment is if this does pass today, then shame on all of you for putting the dollar sign before our health and well-being. And I hope that you live with the guilt of knowing that you could be causing severe health issues for some people, because that's real. No matter what he says, the studies he's going to pick and choose to make his business look good is a farce. I don't know if you did any of your homework, like I've asked you the last couple meetings, to look into the health effects that silica dust can travel for miles, and the water is affected. And it's dangerous. I'm smart enough to know that I can't drink my water, and I don't. But a lot of people that live there, they have no clue. They're not informed on it, and I wasn't either. But when my daughter got cancer, I just made an assumption of things that I had to weed out. And once again, I'm going to reiterate that 10 people within 1/8 of a mile where I live, and I don't know a lot of people, but I went door to door, I talked to some people, and the number is 10 people within 1/8 of a mile that have had cancer within the past, I'll throw it out there, 15 years. What does that tell you guys? The odds of that is absolutely astronomical. It's ridiculous. Somebody hear me, please, because I keep saying this and I feel like it's falling on deaf ears. Can you prove it? No. Can you disprove it? No. But if the risk is there and you can read the risks from gravel pits and the water quality and the air, you can't ignore it either.
Good job, Kelly.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Kathy Anderson. That's the last person that we have on our list. Sir, can you please come up then?
I'm on the list.
You are, and what's your name?
Rich Richards.
Anderson, 3420 368th Avenue. I don't live on 376th Avenue. I feel for all these people that do. I'm next door neighbor to Bob Conigan, who's just up here. Same boat with the water, our well. I don't know. You know, all kinds of things in the basement to make our water drink mold, so I can do my laundry, and it'll turn yellow, so it doesn't smell like rotten eggs. So I treat that, I don't feel like it's like a sink. But, didn't think of that until we came up and brought it up. Well, my question is, what is the guarantee, what, is there something legal that says that they may not proceed past 376? Because when the mother died, she stipulated there was something that she, it was a legal document that the excavation was not to go east of 376th Avenue. Is that something that's in writing? Is that a legal document? How does it work? Because that's what I'm thinking.
We don't have anything such as that. What we're having proposed to us is
like
the current location.
Mr. Danko said that there is, I'd like to know what it is, where it is, that she said that nothing could be done beyond 300. When they're all done with this, what's going to keep them from keep going east to that farmland? That's going to be right next to Bob's property and kitty corner from us, right in our backyard. Is that nothing that you've ever heard of? That she...
We don't have any information on agreements between property owners.
To you? Today? I believe it's there.
No, we have nothing.
Okay.
We drilled that property and publicly showed the town that we had interest in it, but that would be a family decision. We're only here to present this parcel, which is why we're getting to the end date.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I want to know what is going to prevent you from going to park at least on campus.
We're talking about the end of mine in 2030, the entire line.
Yeah, so again, we just want to communicate here, and then if there's any questions from what you've asked, then we'll ask the petitioners.
No, I've got a couple of, that question has come up multiple times, and I was waiting for everybody to be done, and then I could explain my understanding of what we've built into the conditions. So, when we, and I brought this up before, when we first understood the plan at the last meeting, they said that the extension or expansion was going to be done in 5 years, because if we go back to October, there was a lot of concern about the timeline, when it was going to be done. And so the revised plan came back and said, well, we've changed how we're going to do this, but that will give us a guaranteed end date on the expansion. Us as the board members are like, okay, well, that's the expansion is a guaranteed end date, but that means that everything else is done at the mine as well, so there's a guaranteed end date. And it's my understanding that the original approval for the mine was, and we reviewed some of the documents in our work session that showed that the anticipated, the probable or proposed timeline of the mine was from 10 to 25-ish years or something, but the worst-case scenario had it going out to 40 years. So there was no end date that was built into that agreement on the mine. It was kind of an open-ended end date. We as the board have said, no, there's going to be an end date on this if we're going to approve this. And not only an end date on the expansion area, but also an end date on the entire mine facility there. And so that's what those dates represent. So that's the conditional use permit. There's actually physically dates in there now. The previous conditional uses, my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, is that every 2 years, as a condition of this, every 2 years it was to be renewed, the conditions of the mine. And so that's what's been going on for the last 20 plus years, is that every 2 years it comes in front of the board, there's an independent audit that's done of the mines through Sigma Engineering, who Lafarge Meyer Material pays for, that the county hires. It's not their consultant, it's our consultant, and they pay for it to monitor the wells, the environmental corridor, to monitor all the conditions, to make sure that they're following what the conditions are. So that's going to continue on this. Sigma is also the consultant that we hired to evaluate their proposal as far as the groundwater goes. So there's, and they concurred with the proposal of the effects of the groundwater table for this proposed mine expansion. So the dates, in our view, and I think if you ask anybody on the board, those are the dates. And that's written into the conditional use permit, and then, like Andy had stated here, the permit could be revoked, if not, then they'd be in violation.
But right now, there's nothing set to go beyond 376.
No, there are no plans. The conditional use permit is based on the plans that have been submitted to date, and none of the plans include any expansion or extension beyond 376.
Okay, so
you might just need to speak up more just so everyone can hear too.
He said it was a prevent the long gas 376th Avenue in the future. Under water state of that should have not wanted that to be touched. Just the lobby for a little more grave and we can all respect your wishes.
I think, again, just to reiterate, the condition that's been placed in the conditional use permit is for the entire site, the expansion area, and the existing mining area, which includes the area of processing the concrete plant, is to be all reclaimed by 2030. There'd be nothing left to mine. I guess I can't exactly state if their operation or some other mining operation would look to mine anywhere in the vicinity. But in regards to this presentation and what's been presented, the expansion area and the existing area that they've been mining would be all reclaimed by 2030.
I think the other thing to note is that there, in 2 years, there's going to be another public hearing for the conditional use permit to ensure that Lafarge is living up to the obligations of the conditional use permit.
Would you be willing to expand upon the parameters of the people that you're going to let know about that? Because actually, our property, we're not within like 200 feet or 300 feet of the project, so we weren't legally, I guess, we weren't obligated to mow by us of what was going on. We found out about all of this by hearsay and word of mouth. So,
John, would you be able to answer to that question in regards to the requirement in the ordinance to notify within 300 feet?
I mean,
if someone wants to be on notice for a project that they're beyond that area?
2 square miles, 3 square miles, 5 square miles.
I mean, would that be up to a person to submit information that they would like that and we would keep record of that? Is that how that would work? Yeah, so that would mean that if anyone here, like yourself, would want to be notified of when this would come back before the committee, you could submit your name and address to us. We'd have to put it in the file and make sure that.
Okay, so where would we go to the town, Cleveland Township?
You would submit a letter. It would probably be best to submit a letter to us so we can put it in the record. Yes, afterwards we can give you our information. All right, thank you. And then, Richards, we do have you on here. We didn't have you check that you wanted to speak, but you certainly can.
Sounds like they're digging closer to the water table now, or proposing to. if the water does get contaminated and we see more wells become contaminated because of it, the surrounding, all the surrounding property owners, homeowners, and so forth, who pays for it? Is it going to be all the property owners going to get money? I think I brought this up the last time. Property owners going to get stuff for it. I applaud them that they're putting in wells, testing wells. Whether they can put in enough or not, that's, you know, how many wells does it take? I really don't know. But if it really, really does get contaminated, a lot of wells lose their good water. There's a lot of people that's going to be in bad shape because it's the big new well, that's a very cost. We have to start trucking in water, and it's costly. That's my main concern, the well water, or ground water, not just for the people in the surrounding areas and preserves and so forth. So that's really all we can. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And then we have Angela Ryer. And again, if anyone hasn't signed our on the attendance list, please come forward so we can get record that you were here today.
So they need their cell phone.
That's the media. It belongs to the media.
Ready?
No. Media. Oh, okay.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes.
So you're here in November, and since that time, I've done a little more research and have found LaFarge Holcomb is being sued for numerous things. From when was the ISIS situation, which a woman talked about, when Americans were fighting, three Americans died, and they were funding ISIS, $10 million in Syria. And they admitted it.
I understand that that's a concern of yours. Would you be able to point to your comments directly to their proposed plan that they have here?
Why are we doing business with a company that is anti-American? One. I got that question. Americans died. They admitted it. $778 million. It's pretty sad that we're doing business with them. That's one question. Second question, this is a comprehensive plan of the community. Why is it being changed for a few individuals? A lot of work went into this comprehensive plan. This is protected farmland. It should mean something. Protected conservancy. We bought our property there knowing that this was protected farmlands, not a commercial industry of gravel pit mining that has gone on now 27 years. When does it stop? Who are we working for? Why are we not hearing what the people want? We live there. Our kids are there. You have the power to side with them or side with us. Are you with us or are you with them? Everybody wants them gone. Now they're going till 2030. This was supposed to be a 5-year deal when my material was there. All of a sudden we have 26, 30 years of this. Who's paying our property devaluation? You? You're making the decision here. It's hurting all of us. Nobody wants to live near these gravel pits. They're not paying us. So, when do we get our part here? You can make that difference for all of us in the community. And if you lived out there, if you took a drone and flew over that gravel pit, you'd understand where we're coming from. People are getting sick out there. They're not here. A woman that I talked with on the last go-round who lived in an earth home says every time they do blasting, she's in an earth home.
She has to take things off of her shelf now because they all fall and break. So there's a lot of problems. The ignitions, the air, the water table, they can say all that they want, that they're not disturbing it. Okay. And my final question, once they're gone, who's taking care of this? Once they're gone, they're down the road, who's taking care of what they're leaving? Who's going to take care of that water pond so it doesn't get, you know, moldy and scummy and mosquito-y? Is there a plan in place for that? For the rest of us that still continue to live there after they're long gone, after 2030? I'm curious, is it going to be the farmers that gave them the land to do this on? Is the town of Wheatland? Who's going to take care of that property after they're gone? And how do we have guarantee that that'll be happening as the rest of us still live there when all of this is all already over? Those are my opinions. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So that would conclude everyone that's on the list that have asked to speak. Is that correct? Is anyone wanting to speak?
Could I have just one question? I know I've spoken before, but I just have one more question. Is that all right?
Just please from there. You know, we're trying to be brief, and we've been through a few meetings already.
Is the Florida property has been tested for radon? Because my home is somewhere across the road from it, and I have radon in my property. And that's my question. Is the property has been tested for radon?
So the question is, have the properties ever been tested for radon? And that was asked by Dan Palmer. So just for the record.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Thank you. So then we're going to close the public comments now. And I do want to have, you know, there was many things brought up, and I did mention about the dates and the times and stuff. As far as the there was a lot of concern about the water, and I am in receipt of an email here, and it does say in the conditional use permit that there's going to be a water action plan by April 12th, which will be publicly available. But there is a plan that's been submitted just for initial consideration. But I believe that the Sigma, our consultant, who's been monitoring the operations out there, who's drafted up, who's provided their hydrology plan, is going to be in charge of reviewing that monitoring plan and then also making sure that it's, you know, acceptable to the county, to the staff, and to the folks, to make sure that anything that happens to wells that are a result of the mine are going to be the responsibility of LaFarge to remedy. And there's a few steps of the action plan here that I just received as, a preliminary plan.
That's correct. Okay.
So. Is there going to be timing on that too? Like, if they cover it, is it within a week, a month? Because if wells haven't issued without water, like a time frame on that too?
So we have an expert, which is Sigma, our consultant, that's, you know, funded by LaFarge, but hired by us. And I think that we would follow their recommendations, and that if there is an issue, if you have concerns, that please, Andy, would you say the best thing to do is whatever your concerns are, put them in an email, send them to Andy so that he can have Sigma review them and incorporate them into a standard plan. That it's, they're not, these plans I believe are incorporated in many areas of mining, and it's not a new thing. So it's going to be incorporated into this plan and into the conditional use.
Yes, that would be a good way to do that. If there's any specific concerns, you can send any of those to us, and we will forward those on for review.
Consultant instead of one fronted by the your own?
It is an independent consultant that the county has hired.
Yes.
Not what they want, correct?
Correct, the county has hired.
Okay. Now, the public comments are closed, the public hearing is closed. Does the committee have any other questions? Go ahead, Supervisor Gashke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of notes down throughout here. A couple of things near the top of my list from some of the earlier comments. Andy, or would somebody be able to pull up the original 1995 application? I believe there's an image, a document that indicated that, you know, this whole procedure could go 40 years or beyond. I understand that many of the residents, you know, have been concerned and cited 5 years or 10 years, but is that image, is that item available from the original 95 application?
I'll work on that right now as you're speaking.
Okay, thanks. Then another community member had mentioned that according to their information, there was actually a southeastward water flow. Just wondering if you have any response to that to that question of southeastward water flow.
So I mean,
I refer to Jeff Hsu, who's on the line, who did the actual study, and he started it by using HNTB's report from 1996, which was a county driven report. So
Jeff, if you're going to speak, you're muted right now. We're not hearing you.
Put him on speaker on his phone. Put that by the mic.
I guess I know when he submitted the well impact study that he not only looked at the HNTB report from 1996, he also pulled up a U.S. Geologic Survey map of groundwater flows, and that was included in the study. And then because of the wells that exist on the site already that we advanced in 1996, plus the drill results where we had drilled that showed where water was present, that's how he had graphed it out. That is definitely moving to the northeast.
And we do have Sigma, which did review that report, and they concurred.
Okay, thank you. One final question right now, through the chair, to our corporation counsel, perhaps. Several residents had mentioned that this was currently categorized as a protection area, a farmland protection area, or Andy, maybe you'd be the best to answer this. Now it's, you know, potentially becoming an extraction area. Could you speak to the process that it would take, or the thought process behind moving something from a quote-unquote protection area to now potentially an extraction area?
Yeah, so the item actually that's up for discussion with the map is for the modification of the comprehensive plan from farmland protection to extraction. So that's actually the item up first for discussion. In regards to the farmland protection, basically any areas that were existing farming that was projected to be farm land was given this indication from a standpoint of different uses that aren't planned in the comprehensive plan, such as landfills, mining activities, extraction, churches, institutional schools, things like that. Those are items that aren't planned for and are taken as a individual item for consideration.
Okay, so my understanding is that doing something like this is not unusual, it's not out of the ordinary, that's fairly standard.
the committee has brought, made decisions in regards to comprehensive plans, I would say a handful of times every year.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, I believe Andy has pulled up the document now, so we can find the charge that you were referring to. So, go ahead, Supervisor Franco.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question, piggyback on what Supervisor Gashin just mentioned. Since we're focusing on the comprehensive plan as our first charge, were the other areas in the mining, in the areas that are being, have been mined since 1996, were they previously farmland protection and then they were rezoned to extraction? I assume the answer is yes.
I would say, well, the mining took place before the comprehensive plan was adopted in 2010.
Oh, okay. So prior to that, it was just agricultural?
It would have been just working with the existing zoning. There was no comprehensive plan in effect at that time.
Was the comprehensive plan a result of the statute for the smart growth law? That was
correct. Passed? Every community needed to create a comprehensive plan.
Okay.
And yes.
Okay. Wait for my turn. Seeing any other questions from the committee here?
Yeah.
Supervisor Bashaw.
Did you want the plan first or? Are you close, Andy?
Andy's looking for it.
Okay. So, thank you, Chairman. A number of items were called out this evening that I wrote just a couple notes, but evidence to comply with the reclamation, that is in the document, so, and we'll have to accept assurances because we can't guess what the future does. Fair enough. Conflict with local comprehensive plan. 4 weeks ago we were here, we modified a comprehensive plan to put in a solar farm on a larger piece of property that will be there perpetually longer than this project will be ongoing. And I don't recall anybody having umbrance with that. I understand the mine is different, but growth in our community is happening. It's occurring around us. I live in Brighton, right next to Paris, where we currently have now taken, somebody mentioned, loss of farmland. 8% of Paris's agricultural land is now under solar farm. 8% of the total agricultural land has been converted for solar. That doesn't recover. This, however, in 5 years will begin recovery and be back into agriculture. It'll include a pond, a restoration area. It'll include the potential for development of additional homes, which would also require a modification of the comprehensive plan. Where I live, when I moved in, had 180 acres of protected agriculture as one parcel right across the street from me. Had another large plot of protected agriculture that is now covered with six beautiful homes, each of them at $1.5 million each. Progress happens. Change is happening. Our communities are evolving. Several of you tonight mentioned evolution of our community, your community, and change over time. It's real. It's occurring. So we have a stopgap. We have time measures put in place. We have committals in place. We have the law behind us to also protect us. I understand the town vote was pre this plan. This plan was an evolutionary plan that was put together to accelerate the project rather than being over an extended period of time, to accelerate it and end it in 5 to 7 years. So we've made accommodation. LaFarge has made accommodation to do so, to mine it quickly, mine it differently, and to complete the project and move on. So with that, I don't believe I can move the motion since I was just commenting, but.
So, first of all,
thank you, Chair.
So, Andy, following the information from the original plan that Supervisor Gashke was asking to show. So this is from the 1995 plan.
It was from their application.
By Smith Engineering, I believe.
Correct.
Okay, thank you, Eddie. I appreciate you chasing that down. Thank you.
So that's 235. Approximate duration was through 2035 based on that worst case scenario.
Correct. They're showing right. That the worst case scenario was to 40 years.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Supervisor Bischoff. May I make a motion to move item number 6, Comprehensive Plan Amendment, Town of Wheatland?
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second with the Comprehensive Plan Amendment. This is a roll call vote of the members. So, April, would you do the roll for us?
Sure. Supervisor Bischoff?
Aye.
Supervisor Franco?
Aye.
Supervisor Kubicki?
Aye.
Supervisor Gashke?
Aye.
Chairman Carroll?
Aye.
Youth and Governance?
I suppose it doesn't mean anything. So.
Means everything.
I think that's.
Okay. All right.
And then, the next item on the agenda, Andy.
All right, I will get to that, hopefully.
Mr. Chairman, might I make a motion that we consider 8 and 9 together?
So moved. Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, this is for considering items number 7 and number 8 together.
8 and 9.
Sorry. 8 and 9
together. Actually, it's 8 and 9 conditional use permit and comprehensive plan amendment.
No, it is number 7. Number
7
eight.
And 8.
7 and 8.
7 and 8. Correct.
So it's the rezoning and the conditional use permit. And so this is only a vote for considering those together, not a vote for either or against either one of those. And I'm going to ask the youth and governance first. Now, would you vote for considering these two at the same time?
Aye.
And then for the rest of the board, all those in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. So the next motion would be to consider these items.
And I'll read them into the record. So we have the request of Daniel H. and Julie P. Robers, 333 Dardis Drive, Burlington, Wisconsin, 53105, owner, Meyer Material Company, DBA Lafarge Aggregates, Illinois, Inc., 1300 South Illinois, Route 31, South Elgin, Illinois, 60177, agent, requesting a rezoning from A1 Agricultural Preservation District and C2 Upland Resource Conservancy District to M3 Mineral Extraction District, A1 Agricultural Preservation District and C2 Upland Resource Conservancy District on tax parcel number 954-219-291-0100 located in the town of Wheatland, as well as a conditional use permit, an amendment to an existing conditional use permit that was originally approved on March 13, 1996 to allow expansion to gravel of a gravel pit in the M3 Mineral Extraction District on the same said parcel.
Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move items 7 and 8.
Okay. Do we have a second?
And I would just say that would be subject to the conditions.
To the conditions that have been discussed and put in the record.
Yes. So we have a motion and a second, and I wanted to reiterate that as well, is that we have the conditions of approval. And the only item in the condition of approval that will have additional information applied to it is regarding the well action plan of April 12th, which would be reviewed by Sigma and our staff to ensure that it, it properly looks after, complies, and protects the surrounding wells. Are there any other comments from the committee or board on this? Not seeing any. Call for a vote.
Start with you.
Starting with youth and governance, an aye is in favor and a nay is against.
Nay.
All right, and then for the board members, all those in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, motion carries.
All right, then we have items 9, 10, and 11 that we would request removed from the table.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we remove from the table items 9, 10, and 11 related to Kendall Development.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second to remove from the table. All those in favor? Supervisor Gashke.
Second. Thank you.
All those in favor of removing items from the table, starting with Yig?
Aye.
Board members?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All in favor, so they were, we have items 9, 10, and 11 on the floor for consideration.
So we would request that this item be withdrawn. We did receive an email from the property owners that they we are withdrawing our previously submitted request for a comprehensive plan amendment, rezone, and plat, and respectfully request that PDEC withdraw these items from the agenda. With that, we'd like to honor that request.
Okay. Do we need a motion to withdraw all three items? What would be the proper procedure?
I'll move to move.
Yeah, that would work.
Hang on a second. Hang on.
Motion by Supervisor Kubicki, second by Supervisor Gashke, to withdraw items 9, 10, and 11 from the agenda. For the owner's request.
Mr. Chairman, could you return us an order?
Mr. Woolley.
Yep. Hold on. Excuse us for 1 minute here. We just let us finish the business at hand first, and then there'll be time for correspondence. So we have a motion and a second to withdraw these items from the agenda. Any other comments? Not seeing any. Starting with youth and governance, how do you vote?
Aye.
Okay. And the board members, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? All right. Items are removed from the agenda.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Item number 12 is the review and possible approval of revised land use fee schedule. So we had in January this very same schedule that was approved by this board, but then it was found out that the agreements with the town of Paris and the town of Brighton used the wrong fee schedule, of which we brought that fee schedule before the committee here in February, which was approved. The new fee schedule was brought before the town of Brighton and the town of Paris, of which they approved that original fee schedule, and so we're bringing that back for approval by this committee.
Okay, thank you, Andy. Do I have a motion on item number 12?
So moved.
Second.
Fee schedule.
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion by Supervisor Gashke, second by Supervisor Franco. Any other comments, questions?
Quick question. Were there any modifications or any other adaptations? I don't see any red lines in here, so this is the final that we agreed to previously?
It is. I think we changed a heading or something, but nothing in regards to the fees. It was what was originally approved.
Okay. Thank you, Andy.
Okay, and I do see the effective date on this is March 9th, 2023, so that would be tomorrow, so long as we approve it.
Correct.
Okay. Sounds like the towns are in favor of it. You've corrected it. I'll call for a vote, starting with the youth and governance. How do you vote on this?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And then the committee members, all those in favor, state aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? No opposed? All right. Motion's passed. Do we have minutes from previous meetings?
February 8th.
All right. February February 8th. Do I have a motion to approve the February 8th minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes from February 8th.
Motion by Supervisor Gashin. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second by Supervisor Franco. All those in favor, starting with Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Board members, all those in favor, state aye.
Aye.
All right, so moved. Minutes are approved. Any other citizen comments? Any other citizen comments? Any other citizen comments? Not seeing any. Any other business, Andy?
We do have three items that will come before the committee for April.
Four items.
Four items, two applicants. Okay, we'll look forward to that. All right, seeing no other business on the agenda.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Kubicki, second by Supervisor Patchoff to adjourn. All those in favor, starting with you.
Aye.
Board members?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion, meeting adjourned.